30 minutes or for 30 years, we're glad you're here this morning. We're a church with a vision to be a Jesus church for the people of Los Angeles and ultimately for the world. As a result, there's three things that we want to do really well. First is we just want to know Jesus better. And so we put Jesus at the center of everything that we do. And we think that as we put Jesus at the center and we seek to know him better, we will actually begin to grow in faith, putting more of our hope, our trust, and our allegiance in Jesus. And that as we do that, we actually become the kinds of people that go out to serve the world around us, serve people in our homes, in our workplace, in our schools. Even this next Saturday, the men are doing a serve event at the Salvation Army. If you're one of our men and you want to go out and serve with the Salvation, talk to Chandler Burns at our spring kickoff after service. And so this weekend is kind of the first weekend post-Easter, post-Holy Week. Actually, around the globe, the church is celebrating what they might call Eastertide, or the weeks of resurrection. And to kind of pivot out of Holy Week, we're starting a new teaching series this Sunday called Building a Faithful Church. We're looking at Paul's final words to Timothy and Titus, his proteges, and learning what it means to be a post-resurrection church marked by faithfulness. Faithfulness to guarding the gospel. Faithfulness to enduring. Faithfulness to multiplying leaders. For the next several weeks, specifically, 2 Timothy is a letter written to a young pastor named Timothy, of a church that Paul will ever write. Specifically, this morning, we'll be walking through 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, a passage where Paul is reminding Timothy to be resilient. And so this morning, we're going to walk through five parts. We're going to look at a mentorship remembered, a prayer remembered, a friend remembered, and a gift remembered. A mentorship, a prayer, a friend, a faith, and a gift. I want to actually begin and start with this. It was just a couple of years ago that I learned the difference, at least in corporate speak, between counseling and coaching. When you think of counseling, you think of maybe sitting on a sofa or laying down, speaking to someone who's being fairly indirect with you, leads with questions, tries to facilitate self-discovery, and often avoids giving clear directives or instruction. Coaching, on the other hand, is different. You may think of a football coach. They're direct, they lead with clarity, they facilitate building, and they don't shy away from telling you exactly what you need to do. Coaching relationship with Timothy. And so, just a reminder, Paul has left Timothy in charge of this church. Now, Paul is writing to Timothy from prison, and the first thing he's going to do is to remind Timothy of their mentoring, coaching relationships. One, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child. Notice that Paul reminds Timothy that he's an apostle, and when he addresses Timothy, he calls him my beloved, dear child. Child. And he gives him this blessing, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus. Peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord. In other words, before the bulk of his letter, he's reminding Timothy that this is not a counseling session, this is a coaching session. For the next several chapters, Paul is about to be direct, forward, an authoritative kind of coaching, mentoring relationship has been profound and helped history. As early as John Chrysostom, one of the church fathers, the early church fathers, in his homily 2 on Eutropius, he emphasizes that without mentors, people will easily fall into error. And he says this, he says, the soul, the person of faith, they should have a guide. They should have many counselors because people just cannot direct themselves. The soul cannot direct itself. It needs counselors and guides to come alongside of it. So church, a challenge to you. Do you have mentors in your life? Do you have people that have enough proximity and enough permission to give it to you straight, to be forward, direct, and authoritative? If not, you need to seek them out. Without mentors, without guides, without coaches, we are so prone to fall into error. Error in the way that we're, error in the way that we're working in the marketplace. Error in the way that we approach our studies, even error in doctrine and in faith. So church them or ask them. Paul's now writing to Timothy from prison. He's reminded Timothy of his mentorship, and now he's going to remind, he prays for Timothy night and day. This is verse 3. He says, I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors' conscience. Watch this. As I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. It's an interesting sentence structure. He starts with, hey, I thank God whom I serve. My ancestors served the same God. I have this clear conscience. But then he, dude, I pray for you every single day and every single evening. If you've been around faith for a while and kind of dabbled with some early church practices, you may have heard of a thing called the divine hours. If you're unfamiliar with the divine hours, these are just these short liturgical prayers that are spaced out to be prayed morning, noon, night, and even at midnight. The goal of these kind of divine hours is for people to weave prayer into the everyday consistent fabric of their life. And that's what Paul is doing for Timothy, reminding him that he prays for him morning, noon, night, and midnight. In other words, Paul has a prayer list. Timothy's on it, and now Timothy knows that he's on it. In his book, Confessions, Augustine talks about this season of him kind of being a prodigal son, and how his mother prayed for him day and night. And this is kind of one of his quotes condensed. He says, my mother's prayers were flowing to you. This is the Lord. Her prayers entered into your presence. She wept for me more than mothers weep for the bodily deaths of their children. I could not escape her prayers. In other words, Augustine, when he reflects on his growing up, he recognizes that his mother was a mom that prayed for him night and day. And so I want to encourage you, church, or more challenge you of a couple of things. Do you have a prayer list with people's names on it? Probably begins with the people in your household. Then it works out to the people in your community group. And maybe there's some people in your workplace or in your school or in this church that are on this list. But church, I want to ask you, are you praying for people by name? Because if you're not, you ought to. And after we pray for people, let's say, hey, just prayed for you. Hey, just prayed over that. Hey, just prayed over this. On Tuesday, if you're thinking back through this talk, you might remember that says the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. You kind of have this opportunity to influence power and effectiveness in somebody else's life and situation through your prayers by name for them. So this is point number three. Paul is remembering Timothy night and day in his prayers. Now, again, Paul has Timothy as pastoring this church. Paul's in prison writing this urgent personal letter, reminding Timothy of his mentorship, reminding Timothy that he prays for him night and day, and now he's going to remind Timothy of their friendship. This is verse 4. Paul says, as I remember you, as that Paul planted and has left Timothy in charge of, is this small, struggling, enduring hardships kind of a church. And here's Timothy, this young, uncertain pastor holding the reins of the church. It reminds me of this scene in Finding Nemo. Mark, keep going. Keep in hardship. Something similar is happening here. In other words, Paul sees the highs of Timothy's pastoral ministry. He sees the lows of his ministry, and now he sees the weight that Timothy is carrying in Paul's absence. And he wants to remind Timothy, you just don't have a church planting you. You don't just have a prayer partner that's not actually friends with you. You've got somebody that is in this with you, cheering you on. So Timothy, keep swimming. Jordan Peterson, not exactly an early church father, says, good news with them, they are genuinely happy for you. And when you share bad news with them, is genuinely sorry for you and not secretly. You might imagine for Paul, when Timothy's struggling, thinking, I knew he couldn't do it without me. I really am a good church planting coach. Instead, Paul wants Timothy to know, yeah, I think about you all the time. I remember your tears, and I just can't wait to be beside you again and be filled with joy by being in your presence. And so, church, here's a challenge. You need friends that are close enough to your highs with you and kind of friend, not just the text prayer partner friend. Hey, can't spend time with you, but praying for you, right? Or, hey, when you need some coaching, let me know. I'm more than happy to give you my expert counsel. But someone who's just willing just to sit in it with you. Lord, make me that kind of friend, a hospital visiting, shop visiting friend. So this is point number three, remember your friends. Point number four, Paul talks about a faith remembered. Paul has left Timothy in charge of this church, and Paul's writing to Timothy from prison, reminding him of his mentorship, of his prayers, of his friendship, and now he's going to remind Timothy of his sincere faith and his family's faith. This is verse 5. This is Paul speaking, I am reminded of your sincere faith, island faith that he has, who he's called to be. That's what Paul's doing for Timothy here. Saying to Timothy, Timothy, you are not people behind you like your grandma, your mom, my ancestors. You've got the wind in your sails. So Timothy, keep sailing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 riffs on this a little bit. The author says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also, like they did, lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Church, let me comfort you with this. Your faith in this church is not a spiritual island kind of faith. You and this church are connected to the ancient scriptures. The story of God with his people, the history of the church, and for many of you, the faith of your parents, the faith of your grandparents, and even their great grandparents. And so, church, let me also challenge you that raising your kids in a legacy of faith matters. Because there will be seasons when they are going through it. Enduring hardship and enduring difficulty, and they will need your faith to be their faith. They'll need you to make yourself a part of the great cloud of witnesses, to remember the witnesses of Scripture, but even the witnesses in their own home. Your kids need you to be Christian, and they need to be raised Christian. So on Thursday, you might pray, Lord, would you continue to establish a legacy of faith in my family? So Paul's kind of getting at here. Remember your faith. And this is the fifth and final point, a gift remembered. Again, Paul has Timothy in charge of this young, growing, but struggling church. Paul's now writing to Timothy from prison, and he's reminding him of mentorship, of prayer, of friendship. Into the gift is there. It just needs some oxygen now. I'm going to share a story with you. Don't tell my mom because she'll know that she was right. Last time I was in Tulsa, I was starting a fire with my dad on the patio in one of these solo fire pits. But the wood was waterlogged. And so I kind of told my mom, hey, we're not doing this fire thing. The wood's wet. It's just not going to burn. She goes, no, it'll burn. Just like stay at it for long enough. And I said, no, that is not how it works. Like the wood's just going to, it's just going to kind of like sear the outside of it, but it's not actually going to catch. She says, no, you should just do it. I said, well, I'm just going to enjoy time with my dad on the patio, and sure, we'll like give it the old good college try. And so, you know, we put some wood in it, and my dad and I stove thing, just smoke. And we're sitting there, and we're kind of chatting. And it's kind of like a little bit of a windy night. And we're just chatting, and like over the course of the next 15 minutes, like more and more smoke starts coming out of this thing. I thought, dude, this is bizarre. Like, this thing's getting really smoky. And we start laughing about it because, like, big old billows of smoke are coming out of this. And then all of a sudden, in just a split second, boom, the fire just ignited. The smoke disappeared, and we had a roaring flame inside of that solo stove. I looked at my dad. I said, don't tell mom. Something similar is happening here with Paul and Timothy. Paul wants Timothy to put some wind and some oxygen on his gift. He's got a gift. Now put some prayer on it. Put some friendship on it. Put some legacy on it. Put some worship on it. Put some teaching on it. Put some oxygen on the gift that God has given you. There's a moment of discouragement that David is feeling at one point. David has a calling. David has a gift. He's come back from Ziklag to find the city burned and his people taken captive. In this moment, his own men actually want to stone David. But in the middle of this kind of loss, this discouragement, this isolation, but David fanned the flame. David put some oxygen on his gift and on his calling, but David strengthened himself in the Lord. Church, let me comfort you with this. Everything you need for life and for godliness, every gift you need to be a good leader in your home and in the workplace and in the church and to serve the world beyond, God has already given to you. And for some of us, it's just smoking, kindling right now. Strengthen ourselves in the Lord. To invite mentors to say, hey, I think I've got this thing. Will you speak directly into it? Hey, I think I've got this thing. Will you pray directly into it? Hey, I've got this thing. Will you be a watch me and give me feedback and encourage me when I'm discouraged? You've got the gift you need for life. But church, don't be guilty of burying your gift. Don't be guilty of hiding it. Don't be guilty of withholding oxygen and wind from it and snuffing it out. Your spouse needs it. Your kids need it. You've given me fan into flame. Let's pray. Father, we pause for a moment, thankful that we get to gather together to worship, to pray, to hear from your word, to kind of start this new building a faithful church series. And we ask you, Lord, I ask you, for every single person in this room, would you give us the mentors that we need to fan our gift in our church and beyond, to fan our gift into flame? Would you give us friendships that when we're discouraged would sit with us and strengthen us to fan our gift into flame? Would you give us a sincere faith and remind us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, both in the church historically and even in our own homes? And finally, God, we just ask you that you would make it true, that you would take our gift, put some oxygen on it, put some wind on it, and fan it into flame. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.